Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Well, thank you for joining us on Inner Garden Online Chapel. We're going to do something a little different this morning because the prayer will come in when we're on the talk with our guest. Because we did something a little different this morning for the first time. We had what is called a breakfast service in one of our local restaurants. And you know, a lot of you people out there that don't have churches that you can go to and share this type of belief, you can always get together with a group of people on a Sunday morning and just have your own fellowship, have some good speakers come in like we did here, and we put it on so that it's about 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning. Mind you, have to get up early, but it's worth it. We have really good speaker that came in, and we had muffins and coffee and just had a nice, relaxed, non-formal church service going on. And so I'm going to put that on a little bit later. I'm also going to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been happening up here around our neck of the woods. One of the things was a little bit of sadness because we received the news the other day that Gateway Spiritualist Chapel is closing the chapel because the Reverends Gloria and Martin Bruff have been, they've given us a place to worship and fellowship for over 10 years. They've served in the ministry for over 30, and thanks to God that they're still going to be around continuing the ministry through the churches, through their teaching and counseling and going and sharing with us there. But they just have become a little bit tired, and there wasn't another minister in their church that was ready to take over. When my husband and I heard that they were closing in the location that they were in, we decided that we would set Inner Garden Online Chapel in that location as a land-based church. So now we've taken on another great goal for ourselves, and that is to get in there and open up a very positive church and to share with other people and start training some of the younger people. And if some of you young people that are on the internet and you are listening to us out there, you know, it would be really nice if you came and joined some of the churches of your choice or the chapels and synagogues or whatever and became involved with them so that this continues on, that there's always a place for people to go when they are in stress or if they just want to have an uplift beginning to their week. And fortunately enough, we do have this online chapel that we're doing here, and hopefully we're uplifting a lot of you through the week and giving you some positive information. Before I go to my speaker and to what went on at our breakfast service, I'd like to give you the phone numbers for you to write down. Now, we will take calls after the service is over here, and we'll come back on, talk to you, and we will take calls. In the United States, call us at 877-876-5227. In Canada, 1-888-810-8322, and direct the international line is 530-876-3222. If you want to get prepared for that, you can go to bbsradio.com, and their front page there has these phone numbers on, and they're toll-free. You can call from anywhere in the world and talk to us, ask us questions, talk about the program, and share some of your spiritual things with us. So I'm going to talk a bit about the guest that I've got that is going to be speaking today. And he's a very interesting man. His name's Ted Koons. He has his Master's of Education. He's been a psychologist, a family psychologist, for over 25 years in the Vancouver area. And what Ted found many years ago, that he had a challenge come into his life that was very difficult for him to deal with, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about that. But in the process of that, he went and he did his work and he did his teaching at one of the community college here and did his counseling, but felt a little bit badly inside himself. In the outside, he looked like he was all together, had all the right answers education-wise, but spiritually, his own self, he was wanting because he was wrestling from the inner self about a lot of things that were going on in his life that were very negative and kind of wondering if he was doing all the right things, why these things were happening to him and happening to his son. And through this process of going and searching and traveling along, he found a place of peace coming from within himself. And he's written a very good book called Peace Begins With Me. It is not very big. You can go through it probably in an afternoon, but I will tell you what you will learn from him and from his book will stay with a lifetime. And some of the little things that he says just kind of resonate with you, and it kind of makes you turn another bit of light, another aspect of life. and take a look at things from a little different angle and maybe bring a little bit more positive thinking into your life. So I'd like you to listen to Ted talk while you get me in the beginning saying a prayer and introducing him and talking about our breakfast service. And then when it's over, we'll come back. And if you'd like, just phone in and talk to us a little bit about what you heard there.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to get together today and try this new breakout service and be able to bring some joy and start our week and make us full of the love that you put through us each day so that we can shine when we go forward and everybody taking our hand will say, I just am so pleased to be in the environment of God's love. We thank you for allowing Ted to join us and give us the good words that he has of encouragement to help all of us in the future weeks. Now, this is really a treat to me because I had an experience last year, about this time actually, that I was encouraged. I had a great conference going on. I tried for about 4 months to get the conference put together, and everything kind of went awry. And finally, I said, I've got to do it now. Got this conference done, and thought, I want to have some really high-powered speakers. So I thought, I would love to have someone that was similar to a man who had mentored me when I was younger. So I went online, and as it so happened, now, Ted's name came up. How many thousands of people in your line of business that are online? I have no idea, but the Godwin, as my friend called it, Ted's name popped up. And I'm thinking to myself, so this is a very small conference for just a small little group, but I'm going to be just going after the big guns, you know? And I'm going to send him an email and tell him that we're going to put on the first conference and try to interact with all the other spiritual people who are in my life. See you soon. Start networking skills, because this is practical. We've got people from many different areas here and many different spots of how pathways go out and reach, but it doesn't matter if it's all not forgotten. So when you just email that from Bangkok, say, I would love to be part of this. Thank you. I'm in Bangkok at the moment. I will contact you just to be like that. So when we got the conference going, and Ted and I emailed back and forth, and we had a net prior to it, and I bought the book.
The organizer, the total of the offer, has left here, so when she went to turn out all the notes, she said, I was thinking she was something, the letters in my last name were a little bit mixed up, so instead of K-U-N, she said K-N-U-E there. And so she was and then she's standing in front of the room, and she goes into this room, she looks at the sheet of paper with my name and spelled, and she comes to think about how to pronounce it, and she didn't quite remember it. But she thought maybe the cave was silent, but she just made head nuts. I learned it out there a little, you know, and you just wish it. Well, Barbara, that's what I was trying to share with you, the journey that I've been on. I know that some of you have already heard, so I hope that what I had to say isn't too much of a repetition for you, but rather that it's a reminder. Because I know that I need to be reminded over and over again, and it's easy to do for that. But I'm going to share with you the journey quickly that I've been on with my son and then some of what I learned as a result of that journey. And about the picture of Josh, for those that haven't had a chance to meet him yet, this is him. And I'll bounce around to those that want to take a look. And this guy was telling you about his first 5 years of life. When Josh was born healthy, and then at 5 months of age, his mother and I did what most parents deal with me. Took him to the doctor for his first vaccine shot, and unfortunately Josh reacted to the vaccine and had a seizure about 25 minutes long. And we went to the hospital at Royal Family Hospital, they prescribed some anesthesia medication, sent us on our way, and suggested to us that if this kid Josh was a normal child, then everything would be fine. Well, unfortunately, everything wasn't fine, and a month later Josh seized again, and a month later again, and a month later again. And eventually the doctors at Royal Columbia said that Josh's condition was too complicated for them to refer today to the Children's Hospital. And we began to work with a team of neurologists who all took a hand in trying to manage the disease for them. So for the next 5 years, they tried a number of medications, combinations of medications, diet, steroids. At one point, we had a device implanted into the chest cavity called the vagal nerve stimulator. Wire going up his neck trying to stimulate the brain out of regular pathways. Instead of things getting better, they got worse, and the space between the seizures got shorter and shorter and shorter. By the time Josh was 4, the seizure was about 15 minutes a day. And each seizure was about 15 to 20 minutes long, and the seizure that length surprised the brain oxygen and caused even more brain damage. So this young son of mine, who at one point could walk and talk and see himself and ride a tricycle and all those things, by the age of 4, he lost all of his abilities. When Josh was 5, the doctor had told him to ask for something like that. He said that there was nothing else they could do to improve the condition, that if his mother and I needed a break from our son, that they would admit him to the hospital, that they would know what to treat him. And so, you know that you can appreciate how difficult a time that was. They had warned us, they didn't want to see us as potential to kill him because of how challenging it is to him. They explained that the seizure 20 minutes long takes as much energy as somebody running a marathon. So Josh was running effectively 12 to 15 marathons a day. So it was a very difficult time for us. I mean, all of our lives, my wife had a good job, she was in a full-time care attendant, we had a daughter, Brandy, who was 5 years older. She got lost in all of this because there was just no space to attend to the healthy needs of a 9-year-old. I was angry about what was happening to my son. I was afraid that he might die. I was resentful about what the medicine had done to him. And I was feeling a bit of desperation. The crazy part was that I would go to work every day, work with other families, try to step down to get the life on track, and then come home to my darkness and not want to be there. Many days I didn't want to wake up in the morning. I couldn't stand or face. And I knew that I needed to live life different. I knew I needed to climb out of the pool, but I really didn't know how to do it. The psychotherapeutic tools that I had acquired as part of my training somehow just didn't seem to make a difference. So there were a couple of events that shifted me, and one I'll quickly go through. I went to see a psychic, because the psychic said I could come and question. And I only had one question, and the question was, will my son live? And I asked my question, and the psychic responded with these words. He said, have no fear, the son will outlive the father as he goes. And when I heard those words, the story was raised into my heart as a possibility that God had survived. And the second question came to mind. now has the capacity with 2-year-olds and is not expected to improve the language, which begins with about 30 or 40 words. He couldn't understand how he could have been teaching. And I don't even remember if I asked him a question for the site that I remember reading, but confused about what I had heard. So what I did notice is that I began to get curious, and I thought, well, jobs as a teacher, there might be something that you can teach. And as I opened up the possibility that there was some wisdom there, it seemed like it finally started to arrive. And the first lesson came on a typical day. Josh and I shared a little ritual together. And as part of that ritual, when I drove home from work and drove up the driveway, Josh would recognize the sound of my car as he would know his dad's car. And as he was well enough, he would run to the window at the back of the house and he would wait for me to get out of the car. And when I got out, looked to the window, that little face was there, and he would yell, "Hi, Dad." Say hi, Josh, and come into the house. So most days when I got out of the car and looked at the window, it was empty. And it was because Josh had too many things to take care of. And I was dead there, she went to the window. On this particular day, I drove up the driveway, I parked my car, and I looked at the window, and I always get nervous, this little face in the window, a little note, pressed flat against the glass. And I just stopped it too. To feel the joy that I felt that he was having a good day that day. But something different happened that day, and as I was looking at my son, I heard this voice, and the voice was literally spoken out loud. And what I heard was a question, and the question was, when your son looks through the glass at you, what does he see? And as I thought about that question, the answer was clear. He saw a father who was angry, a father who was afraid, a father who was effectively rejecting his own son. The truth was, I didn't want a disabled son in front. I wanted the son that was in my imagination and the dirty world in the air. And when I recognized that that's who I was and that was my way of being in the world, I knew that my son was very scared. And so I remember making a very deliberate commitment to my son that day, and I said, my job, I'm going to learn how to be happy. I'm going to learn how to be peaceful. I'm going to find my joy again. But more important, I'm going to learn to fall in love with the son that I have, not the son that's in my imagination that doesn't exist. And so I began a journey with the fine peace, to find joy, to find happiness, to find acceptance. And I began with just a very simple question. The question was, is what I'm doing, is the way I'm thinking, the way I'm behaving, does it add to my peace, my joy, my happiness? Or does it add to my anger, to my sadness, to my despair? And by simply asking that question and noticing the direction I was walking in, I came to recognize that some ways of living moved me in this direction, another way moved me in the direction of anger and sadness. And so that was really the semantic of that moment, is that I began to live life thoughtfully, I began to notice, I began to pay attention. I began to take responsibility for the direction that I was walking. And as a result of that, I learned some very valuable things. I learned that some ways of thinking and behaving increase my anger and despair, and other ways increase my peace and joy. And so my book is simply an attempt to try to capture what I noticed happened to me. People sometimes will ask me whether it's true for you, whether what I discovered would be the same for you. And the truth is, I don't know. My invitation is to begin to pay attention to the direction that you're walking in. Is what you're doing, is your way of thinking, is your way of behaving, does it add to your joy, to your peace, to your happiness? Or does it add to your anger, sadness, and despair? The Chinese have a wonderful saying, they say, unless you change your direction, you'll end up where you're headed. So what I've come to recognize, both from my own observation and from my work as a psychotherapist, is that I believe that unfortunately we've been taught the tools of anger, sadness, and despair in our culture. When I look out at the kind of messages that are being suggested, when I see the tools that people come in with on a day-to-day basis, they don't recognize their power. They don't recognize their responsibility. They act as if they have no choice. And so I think that there's some relearning, some reminding that needs to happen. Because I believe we're actually very powerful people. The picture that I have hanging in my office is that plastic one of my landlords with a hand of God is extended to the hand of man. And the reason I have it in my office is that I believe is a very powerful image. What I learned was that the name of that painting is called Creation. And I believe what it represents, I'm not sure what my grandma had in mind, but what I came from it is that what's being extended from God to man is the power of creation. That when the Bible says that we're made in the image of God, I'm not so sure it even looks like God physically, but I think what it means is that we should be created. Now, what I recognize for me is that I spent a good 4 years of my life reacting to us, not being. And I would just bounce off things, and I would act angrily and resentfully and fearfully to the things that showed up in my life. And it was a hard way to live. And as a result of my observation of what was working, what wasn't working, I began to recognize that there are tools of creation. There are tools of taking ownership of your life. In the counseling field, one of the questions that we ask is, do you take who's driving your bus? And the metaphor is around, you think that life is like a bus, that the observation that I have from working with many clients, that you're sitting in the passenger seat complaining about where the bus is going. And the work of the therapist is to remind you that
So again, I wasn't surprised when you turn on the radio, TV, and
consistency, but every advertisement has embedded within it, and not just a physically happy when. So it's not surprising to buy any stores. The problem is those stores just don't have any of that there yet. And so then I began to look for ways of thinking, ways of behaving, and we're walking in different directions. And what I noticed is not anything that I've discovered. I simply noticed messages that are already out there, and some of it has been around for thousands of years, but we have lost them or forgotten them or dismissed them. The first tool that I really came to understand was the power of the imagination. In my mind's eye, what I want to have happen. The secret has done a wonderful job of spreading that message to me. I learned that if you want to create something, two actions are necessary, intention and action. Intention is what do I intend to look like? What else do I want to have happen? And action is where do I focus my awareness? Where do I focus my attention? What am I looking at? One of the small metaphors that I talk about in my book that I find very helpful is I had a client that worked in the Mall of India in the race car driver that was in Vancouver, and he talked about how race car drivers are trained. And he said they're trained that if the car goes out of control and starts to head toward the wall, not to look at the wall, but instead look for an opening in the view of the car. And if the driver does that, the car moves towards the opening. But if they look at the wall for fractionally any time. And so I began to use that as a good metaphor for life. When I was in a crisis, was I looking at the wall? The openings, the barriers, the responsibilities. And what I noticed was that I began to look for the openings and the possibilities that I would move in that direction. And so, where we focus our attention, very powerful. I learned to immerse myself in the present moment. I managed myself to be here by the extent of time.
Feel like this is an application. Because one of the things I
I do hope that you enjoyed what Ted had to say, because it was one thing that was really impacted us when we had the conference last year, was the simplicity of what his philosophy is, and that it did really take very little change in his life to turn it around from being very negative and feeling every morning when he got up that he couldn't understand why God had brought such terrible things into his life, to turning it around and finding that there were great lessons being given to him here and that he would be able to use those things. There were some really great stories that he told there, and I'd kind of like to talk about the last one that he was talking about, which is the native point of view, that when the old grandfather and the young boy sat talking together, and the grandfather said to the young boy about the two wolves that are wrestling inside of themselves, and that there's a negative wolf and there's a positive wolf that are fighting. And when the young boy said, "But grandfather, which of these wolves will win out in the end in your heart?" And he said, "The one that I feed." And that's so true, that we feed into the negative things, or we buy into the negative things in advertising or in the environment around us, and it obviously ends up to be a very difficult situation for us. But yet if we buy into the positive side of it and take a look at, well, I can't change a moment of the past, which is what Ted was saying there, that if we live with a vision of what is, accepting what is, and then taking a look and seeing what can I do about making myself happier. And the story about where his little boy looks out the window at him on those days that he was able to get up and look out the window, and he finally thought to himself one day, well, you know, what is Josh seeing when he looks at me? I look up at Josh and he makes my day. If he's there, and if he's not there, well, I'm disappointed and I know he's had a bad day and I'm already depressed when I'm walking in. But what does Josh see when he looks out? And he doesn't see that happy father, someone who's joyful to see him, someone who's bringing God's love to him. And so it's very interesting that we have to kind of look at what are we putting out there. And what kind of a face are we putting to the world? I'd like you to give us a call, 877-876-5227 in the United States. That's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-810-8322. And in the international, 530-876-3222. And for whatever reason, we don't get a lot of Canadian callers. Maybe they're all at church at this time, we should hope. But at any rate, for the Canadians, again, it's 888-810-8322. So if you're out there, please give us a call. Then talk a little bit about what's going on with Inner Garden Online Chapel in the next few weeks. Now, one of the things that is going on, as I said, is we started this breakfast service, and we will improve the quality of the audio that we get as we go along. Unfortunately, we were in a restaurant surrounding there, and we had not the time to really key up all the audio stuff that we could have done possibly to get better situation with hearing the speaker a little bit better. However, we'll improve on that as time goes along and you get to know the acoustics of the room you're in. The other thing is that we'll be doing this breakfast service at that particular restaurant for the next 4 more weeks, so that'll be 5 weeks of it. And it's just kind of a pre-runner to the big thing that's going on with us right now, and that is that we're going to open a land-based church out in Ocean Park at Ocean Park Community Center. And we were very excited with the people this morning who said to us that they are really looking forward to joining us there and to helping us get that ministry off the ground and be able to get the pastoral ministry to the outreach and whatnot. But what's going to be even more interesting is that we are going to be able to set up in a real good way the audio and the video segments of the program that we're putting on. The speakers for that week will be videoed and audioed. We will be putting the video of that on our website. Now, we're trying out right now with the ones that we're just testing out, and so be a little bit patient if they aren't quite the quality that our professional quality. We're trying to do the very best we can to be able to give people out there an opportunity not only to listen to us on the internet, but actually be able to see our speakers, be able to hear them. And you will, over the period of time, sometimes hear people being given psychic messages or clairvoyant messages from the speakers that are there, because they also are mediums. And we will have them giving demonstrations to the audience, and from time to time we will tape some of that as well so that you can see how that's done. I know a lot of you watch people like John Edward when he's doing demonstrations, and you understand that this is the way mediumship works when they are giving messages out to someone who's out there. We can do the same thing online if you want to call in, and we will do a complimentary reading for you. Mind you, they're not really long, but they usually are long enough to get the message out that God wants you to have. That might be just a short little message, but here's what I was saying to Ted today. In his book and in the lecture that he did for us when he came last year to the conference, he was saying that a lot of people get themselves all up in a knot over trying to make things work in their environment. You know, there's things going wrong in the family, or there's things going wrong at the work, or whatever the case may be. And one of the things that he said, and it's kind of stuck with me, and I catch myself up when I get caught in this circle of trying to get too involved in concerning myself about what other people are doing. And the first question to ask yourself is, whose business is it? And am I putting my nose in somebody else's business? And then the answer to that will come, and then you say, okay, now is this God's business or is it my business? Now, God's business is to heal and to help people and to take them on circumstances and bring them through circumstances that are going to help them be the best that they can be. Our job is to love them and to channel that love from God's energy through us to them. So even in your own family, sometimes you'll find, just like this morning, when one of the ladies said, I have a son who never seems to have any joy in his heart. He just really sad all the time. And she spoke to me before service, and she said, it really sad because even his small child, who is, I think, 5 or 6 years old, said, Grandma, you know, Daddy never, ever smiles, and he's never happy. And I asked him one day, why don't you ever smile, Daddy? And he said, I've got nothing to smile about. And that is sad. And that mother of this young man was quite concerned, what can I do to help make his life better? And the answer to that is to love him and to pray for him and to be there and walk in and say, I just thought I'd drop in today to say hello to you because I love you. And not really get involved in the critical situations that about criticizing him or saying he should, he could, or would do something differently. Try to show the opportunity, show the joy that's in your heart, and try to show by example. But be there to love them and care for them, because it is God's job to, as Ted said, make that difference in that person's life so that something resonates with them. Some one word, one person comes into their life, and it will make them take a look at what's going on in an entirely different manner. Most certainly, it doesn't mean that you have to tolerate meanness or mean-spiritedness out of anyone, that they just are so miserable about their own life that they're mean-spirited with someone else. And that isn't what we're talking about. But sometimes we just have to understand that people need to go through walking that pathway on their own and finding out the answers that they need to be able to get them to where they need to be. And then they can kind of go down that pathway and be all that they can be. And it's hard for us to look at people and see that happening, and we love them and we want so much better for them, and we're trying to show them the way, we're trying to change them and bang the tambourine maybe and say, you know, if you just, you know, prayed to God, or you went and did this, or you went and did that, and we're just trying to lead them on the direction that we think that they should go. But that's God's job. So what we have to do is just make sure they know we love them, we're there for them. If they fall down, we'll brush them off and pick them up and put them back on their feet and send them back on their pathway and be there to care and guide for them and help them when we can. One of the other people today asked a question too, and it was another interesting one, was the fact that this particular gentleman had a young son that he had to leave at a very young age. The mother and father, unfortunately, could not continue in the relationship. And I think the boy was about 8 months old when the father no longer was able to be involved in his life. The mother removed him from any contact. And as time went on over the years, this father, of course, thought many times of this son. And in turn, the son, through the energy of God connecting their thought patterns together, thought many times of his father and wanted to know about his father. And subsequently, in the last number of months, there has been a connection with this man and his son. And it has been a wonderful, joyous reunion, and they have been building a wonderful connection together and a wonderful relationship. But he has to remember that he hasn't been a father for all those years, and of course, the young man came to his dad. The young man's in his 20s, so it's not like he's a small job. And he came to his father that he had kind of come up against a tough time and he needed some money for rent. He wasn't going to be able to continue on with his rent if he didn't come up with some dollars. And his father said to him, well, what's happened? So he informed his father that he'd been, you know, carefree and careless and had gone out and had a number of speeding tickets and ended up with about $800 in speeding tickets that had caught up with him. And that, of course, had taken the money that he should have been using for rent. And so, of course, the young man is still in touch with his mother. And so the father said to him, well, what did your mother say about this? Which was a good thing to do, not go ahead and do something without knowing what his mother, who had been in his life all these years and been the source of guidance, was saying about this. And said, well, Mom said I should have known better and I'm just going to have to figure it out. So the father said, well, this is true, but as I'm your father and I know I've made lots of errors of judgment in my life and you have made an error of judgment here and I want you to remember that you're not to do this again and that you're not to continue to think that I'm going to be here as someone who is going to just throw a lifeline out to you every time that you do something foolish. So this time, I will help you, but don't think that if you repeat this error of judgment, that I will be there to bail you out. That will be on your head if it should happen again. And so Ted, who is a psychologist, said, well, this is exactly the thing, is that what he may have expected from his father was that his father would kind of come down heavy-handedly on him, but with the kindness and with the extent of saying, well, this is not what I approve of. I'm not approving of this. I'm not thinking that you should be doing this again. But he let the boy know that he would be there to help him this time. But if he were to repeat this error of judgment, it was going to be up to him to get himself out of it. And you look at it, you know, we all make errors of judgment. We're all learned from those errors of judgment. At least hopefully we do. And so, therefore, this was a way that this young man was going to learn about this father was not going to be just trying to make up for all these years by just being easy with him. He wasn't going to be able to go there to his dad and just think his father's going to ease his pathway as a make up for the guilt of not being there. And Ted said that he felt that that young man had handled the episode with his son quite well. So that was an interesting comment. We have clairvoyance and mediumship in the churches for just that reason, that sometimes it's not from us, but sometimes it is from the connection with the spiritual energy of the people that we are connecting with, that we have a connection with either a spirit that has been connected with them at one time on the physical realm, where they may be a spirit of angels or even just a straight direction from God that comes through and allows us to give that just that little bit of help to people out there. So it's one of the reasons that we do decide that every Sunday that we will be there and make available for those people that are in need out there, a place where they can go and they can get joy in their heart, they can lift their spirits, they can look at a brighter tomorrow, they can look at the fact that if things have happened in the past, that they can't change it, but they certainly can change the attitude with which they deal with this, and then they can go on and try to do better because they now know better. And really, this is all that you can ask from people who are around us, that they do the very best that they know how to do, and that we do the very best that we know how to do, and that we pray to God and we ask for that particular help. The other thing that in the group that we are connected with is that we celebrate that there is one God, which we talk about at the beginning of the service here, and that in our own way, we need to worship that God. You follow the pathway that will take you to your God, whether that be through Judaism, through spiritualism, through Buddhism, through Christianity, whatever direction that you go from the physical realm that you're in to reach the same God. And so we ask everybody to celebrate that one God in their own way and ask you to attend the church, chapel, temple, and synagogue of your own choice. And also take time every day to meditate, because really where God's spiritual center is within yourself. And every day, if you go to that sanctuary within yourself, you take that little quiet time and meet with God and listen to the connection between yourself and your spiritual connection with God, you will find that your life will be a lot easier. Now, the one thing I would say on behalf of Ted Koons again, who was our speaker, he's a master of education, he's written the book Peace Begins With Me. Do go to his website, peacebeginswithme.com, and read about him. Go to bbsradio.com and listen to all the different people who are on the broadcast here. BBS has allowed a number of people to come and share their views with you. You have an opportunity to do so. I would also ask that you occasionally try to support the groups that are bringing this to you, whether it be by donating to BBS Radio or supporting them through their online support. We would ask you to go to our www.innergarden.com and keep watching for our new video presentation of our church services. And as of the 3rd of June, we will be having an actual church service with a full congregation, with the music, and have an actual full service that you'll be able to attend. So we ask you to follow that from week to week. And give us some feedback, barb@innergarden.com, and let us know what you think of the program and what you're thinking of the church services that we're offering. I ask you to join us in a final prayer right now for the end of this week. It's Heavenly Father, God, the creator of the universe, please allow us to have the healing energies that come from you draw through us to those that are in need in the body, mind, or spirit, and help us to influence our attitudes in a positive way. Help send healing to our leaders of our nations, and help us to think about the planet as a whole, the universe as a whole, and have our educators and ministers bring much leadership to our days that are ahead of us, so that we will be able to turn this world to our young people and be proud of what we have done here. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to send angels to guide each person, and I ask you in the name of hope and love to continue to allow these broadcasts to go forward. Amen. So join us next week on Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard saying thank you for coming. And as I said, go to the temple, the chapel, church, or synagogue of your choice, because all pathways that are spiritual lead to the same God. See you next week.